Okay, Boker Tov world. Today's daf, the actual last daf in the second Gittin, is daf tzadi, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah. So finally, at the end of the Masechet, we can discuss the morality of divorce. What are grounds for divorce? Beit Shammai omrim, lo yigaresh adam et ishto, ela im ken matzah be'ervat davar. The only thing. The only thing that actually justifies a divorce is that there's something that he found in her that implies adultery. It says, "Ki batzah be'ervat davar." Then the katavla sefer kritut. So, in other words, the two are related. Beit Hillel omrim, no, these are two different things. Ervat o davar. Afilu igdicha tafshilo. What if she makes his coffee wrong? Or what if she puts in too much salt into the meat? That's grounds for divorce. Shenema ki matzaba ervat davar. As we'll see, he darshens either ervat or davar. Rabbi Akiva Omer, you don't need grounds for divorce at all. Afilu matzah cheret na'ayimena. If he no longer likes her, he found somebody more attractive and he'd rather be married to someone else. Shenema. The pasuk begins, "Vahaya im lo timtzach im be'inav." So we have, therefore, an expansion of the halacha to mean, for whatever reason, that she's not motzachim. So first, let's talk about the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Tanya, Omru Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai? How can you say that only a ma'aseh of erva justifies divorce? V'halo kvar nemar davar. So it says a davar, not only erva. If it was only a ma'aseh erva, then it should have just said erva. Amru lahem Beit Shammai, v'alo kvar ne'emar ervat davar, which defines the davar, right? So it's ervat. Amru lahem Beit Hillel, if it had said only erva and not davar, so then I would have thought that you're right. Beit Shammai would be right, and only mishum erva they'd say. That's the only grounds for divorce. But mishum davar, there's no other thing that someone would find offensive that would be grounds for divorce. Lekach nemar davar, but that's not true. If the cooking is bad, that's a davar. It's something that bothers me. On the other hand, ilu nemar davar, velo nemar ervat. Why? I mean, the way I'm learning, I understand that it's difficult, says Beit Hillel to Beit Shammai, because this is why you're tiny. If the Torah says ervat, so then what's the point? If any kind of davar would be sufficient, including poor coffee, then it makes no sense to mention ervat in that context at all. I mean, that's extremely offensive. Ah, but you see, if it hadn't mentioned both of them, I would have thought, look, the pasuk goes on to say, "V'shuchami beitom, v'yatzami beitom, v'alchavai tali yishacher." So I would have thought, if the divorce was based on poor coffee preparation, then v'yatzami beitom, v'alchavai tali yishacher. But if it would have been based on something more serious, on chashashot of adultery, so then maybe she shouldn't get married to anybody. And the Torah was not matir a woman that was divorced because of that to be v'yatzami beitov tava v'haytali shacher. Therefore, we need to have both to tell me, no, there's no iser in her marrying somebody else. Therefore, lekach nemar ervat, to tell me both things. That davar is sufficient grounds, and even in the event of davar, she's also allowed to marry another person. What about Beit Shammai? This davar doesn't seem to be meaningful. Why didn't it say kimatzaba davar? Sorry, kimatzaba ervat. Why does it say ervat davar? My avidah. Ah, that's because ne'emar kan davar, ve'ne'emar lahalan davar. Al pi shnei edin, al pi shlosha edin, yakum davar. We have a gezeira shava. Therefore, it tells me, just like the din of davar is always shnei edim, afkan b'shnei edim. So that means that unless we know for a fact Now, there was actually a Maisa Erva. Besdin is not going to put pressure on a person, certainly not to force him to divorce, unless there's clear-cut testimony that she's asura to him. So in other words, from the point of view of the justification for divorce, that's erva. But I need to put in davar to tell me, don't think that the Besdin will get involved just because he feels there's justification for divorce because of the way that she's acting. For Besdin to be involved, it would require witnesses that actually witnessed an act of adultery. Now, according to Beit Hillel, says the Gemara, this is all part of the Brice section. According to Beit Hillel, so they taina, I understand what you're saying, Beit Shammai, but we still hold that there are two issues over here. Of course, we need to know this as well, that you can only establish a Maisa Erva, that a Besdin takes into consideration, if you have Al Pishnei Edim, or Shlosha Edim, Yakum Davar. But nonetheless, if that was the only reason that the Torah was writing Erva Davar over here, it would have written Erva Bidavar, because the idea over here is that we need to establish the aforementioned Erva with Edim. But that's not what it says. It says Ervat Davar, as if the words Davar could stand on its own. The Erva needs to be Smichut, so it needs to be Ervat. But the idea of the Davar, that stands on its own. So first of all, there's the Gzeres Shaveh, that the Davar is a reference to the Edim. And then there's also an implication that there's a separate issue over here, either Erva or Davar. That's why we say that as long as there's an identifiable issue, we disagree with Rabbi Akiva, who says, you don't need an identifiable issue as grounds for divorce. The love is gone. I no longer feel the excitement. That's grounds. That's not grounds, but it's good enough. The Torah is allowing divorce under those circumstances. That's why it doesn't say Ervat Bidavar, and instead says Ervat Davar. So what about Beit Shammai? Says Beit Shammai, if you were right, Beit Hillel, that Davar is, besides meaning Bidavar, also means an additional issue, another issue, and not necessarily an issue of Davar, so then it would have written, O Erva, O Davar, to make it clear. Says Beit Hillel, why? That's why it says Ervat Davar. Because by saying Ervat Davar, it's leaving the issue open. On the one hand, the Ervat is somuch to the Davar, so it needs Edim. But on the other hand, the Davar stands on its own. Therefore, it's telling me both directions. Mashmahachi, namely that you need Shnei Edim or Shlosha Edim, and it's also Mashmahachi, that any reasonably offensive kind of thing is also a Davar. And Rabbi Akiva goes even further. Rabbi Akiva says, Afilu Matzah Cheret Naimena. So what is he arguing about, the Maika Miflage? Pirei Shlokish. Question over here is, it's clear that Rabbi Akiva, who took the beginning of the pasuk as a separate issue, says in the beginning, "Rayaim lo tibtzachein be'enav." So says Rabbi Akiva, that's what the pasuk says, "Lo tibtzachein be'enav." So if right now the man says he lo motzei tchein be'enai, so why is that a problem? According to the way Beit Shammai is learning over here, according to the way Beit Hillel is learning, because you see, it follows those words. Now, the key to the understanding here is, what does ki mean? Because ki is a very broad kind of term that, as we know, has four different ways of being understood. And the question is, what precisely is the meaning of the ki here? So that's the question. So they're arguing about how to apply Reish Lakish's analysis of the understanding of ki. So Reish Lakish says, look, if you take a look in the Torah, you find that ki actually is used in four very different ways. Because we find ki as e, we find ki as dilma, we find ki as ella, and we find ki as deha, as a reason, because. And there's many examples of this. So we have four very different things. Let's say, ki yimatse bekirbecha, as Rashi means. So ki kare kan tzipor lefanecha. So what does that mean? It means if you will bump into a bird's nest, right? Ki terecha mor sonacha. You'll see somebody's animal struggling under a load. So that means in the event, if. That's a very common and the most common lashon of ki, if such and such a thing occurs. Now, we also find ki to be, no, it is the opposite of what you're saying. That's the lashon of ela. So we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Sora, right? The discussion, did she laugh or didn't she not laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. The response is, lo ki tzachak. What is ki tzachak? Doesn't mean if. It means no, it's not true, you did. So in other words, it's ela. It's not like you say, you did. Or, we just add, al tikpotzet yatcha. You're not supposed to close your hand to achicha evyon, because the shnat hashmita is coming. But what should you do? Ki patoach tiftach. Meaning, rather you should. That's the lashon of ela. It's the same word, but it means something very different. Or when the malachim argue with Lot, Lot says, come to my house. And they say, lo, ki berachov nalin. Rather, we will sleep in the street. Okay, all of these are lashonos of rather, ela. Now we also find pen, perhaps, in a lashon of questioning, could you even entertain such a thing? Perhaps you would think, like, ki tomar bilvavacha rabim agoyim ha'ele. What does that mean? It doesn't mean if you say, because then if would be implying, if you say that these goyim are too much for me, don't fear them. But if you don't say, then do fear them. I mean, that's if doesn't make sense over there. So what it means, would you perhaps question these goyim are too much for me? That's ridiculous, right? So that's ki tomar bilvavacha. And this is also found in many, many places. So it means pen. Ultimately, it's a sense of questioning. How could you? So therefore, it's saying, if you would even think such a thing, don't even think such a thing. That's the pshat. So we find many examples of that as well. And then we have the example that is important right here. And that is deha, meaning it's because, it is that. And that we find, so then it's giving you a reason. So when we had before, lo ki tzachakt. So she said, Sarah, lo tzachakt, ki yoreya. What does ki yoreya mean over there? Because she was afraid, and therefore she actually had persuaded herself that lo tzachaka, right? So that's a different key, because of the fact that it was this in her mind. And Yisro asks Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you sitting all day on your own? Ki yavo elai ha'am. That means because of the fact that the people are coming to me to ask questions. So all of these are lashonos of because of the fact we have the same reason. Because of this, we have that beautiful drasha that ki gava aron. So vayira vidasha vayira eh. That since Aaron was gava deha gava Aaron, so that meaning the word asher deha has this double meaning asher gava Aaron, and that fact is very significant asher. Therefore, it also is a reason. So Chazal darshed it to mean not only did they see that gava Aaron, but they were seen because the Anan Yaakov disappeared because Aaron had died, and Aaron was the source of the Anan Yaakov. Do you see the subtlety of the Daha? So the Daha is given in both of those directions. Daha Asher is the same Lashon. Now the question is, what does it mean here? It says, Vayayim lotim tzachein be'enav, ki matzaba ervat davar. So Beit Shammai says, well, this key is the reason Why lo timtza chen beinav? Ki deha, because of the fact, those are the only grounds for feeling that lo timtza chen beinav. Why else would you have a right to just arbitrarily decide lo timtza chen beinav? That's ridiculous. Okay, so then that means that it's clearly telling me the only rights you have to make a determination that you no longer want to be married to this woman is because of the fact that you were matzah be'erevat davar. Rabbi Akiva holds, no, ki matzah be'erevat davar means e. So in other words, it's inami matzah be'erevat davar. So look, you could just be im lo timtza chen beinav, or if it happens, ki, if it happens, and why would we have to say both of those things? I mean, obviously, if even just arbitrarily lo matzah, so isn't it obvious that ki matzah ba? So, okay, so Tosis explains that Rabbi Akiva could be going even like Beit Hillel, that either davar, I understand, the erva is not really such a problem, because the erva, I need to know that you need to have two witnesses because of the davar in order for Beis Din to force the guy to give a divorce. Fine. But what about the davar? So many of the Rishonim hold, it seems that Rabbi Akiva is following the Shita of Beit Shammai, because if he held a Beit Hillel, why do you need to mention both davar if you don't even need a davar? And it's okay to just arbitrarily im lo yimtza chen beinav. Whereas Tarsus brings the Shita of the Rabbi Yochanan, that if, in fact, it hadn't said davar, this would be Aliba de Beit Hillel, if it hadn't said davar, so then he wouldn't have gone so far as to say ki is a lashon of or either. If he would have then understood it to be the way that Beis Hillel was learning, but since it already says davar, so I know the din of the edim in terms of Beis Din. I know the fact that it could be any reasonable reason, like bad coffee, and therefore the addition of lo yimtza chen beinav is to expand upon that and to say, you do not really need to have grounds. Now, this is not a moral description. It's not saying it's okay to get divorced because you don't enjoy this relationship. It's a saying that gittin are part of the standard of gittin is to give a get under these circumstances. Have we determined, first of all, that if you violate these dinim, that Beis Din will force you to remarry? No. Have we in any way determined that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with a person who decides, I no longer like my wife, and therefore I'm going to divorce her after all of these years? No. We're simply describing where the dinim of gittin will take effect. As far as what the moral issue is, and so on, that the Gemara is still going to look at. And this is our next question. Omer le'Rav Papa l'Rava, suppose a person ignored these diyukim. So suppose lo matzah ba, lo erva, v'lo davar mahu. What would be the din? I'll leave it to Beit Hillel. If we don't hold of Rav Akiva that anything that you do, and you went ahead and divorced a woman without any grounds, will the Beis Din force this man to remarry her? Omar lei, midagoli rachman agabe yones. So Rava said to him, look, we know we have one unique location in the Torah where the Torah says, if you gave a divorce, despite the fact that that divorce was effective, Beis Din will force you to remarry her. Where is that? That's only the case of the rape of a Nahara. So over there it says, lo yuchal eshalcha ko yamav. You're not able to send her away. What do you mean you're not able to send her away? Did the Torah cancel the dinim of divorce? No. It means that you have a mitzvah to get up and marry her again, and Beis Din will force you to do so, which is why this is a lava nitak la'aseh. So that even if the rapist goes ahead, divorces this girl sometime later, he's not going to be chayav malchus for the divorce because Beis Din will force him to remarry. So that as all mitzvahs lo ta'aseh, where there's an adjunct of what it is that he should do in response to undo the damage, okay, you divorced her, go marry her again. but you'll never get rid of her. But then that means that that's a very unique situation in the case of rape. Kol yamav be'amod v'achzer kol. It's not just any rape. It's specifically the rape of a nara betula, right? So this is a unique kind of situation. So clearly, ha'tamud egalei rachmana, that's the only place where the Torah teaches us that it's an absolute chiyuv, that if you did the wrong thing in divorcing, that we will force you to rectify what you did. Bavel Hacha, even though the Torah tells you, you did the wrong thing, you should not have divorced just because of your emotional state, if there was no grounds for divorce. Nonetheless, my de'avad avad, you were over on the Yisr. However, Bezdin is not Mechayev you, because it's the only case where we find Bezdin is Mechayev is here in the case of Ones, Kol Yamav, Be'amod V'Achzer. Amalei Rav Misharshi al Rava. So what would that mean? Let me ask you something. I mean, the practical implications of this. A person is struggling with his emotions, you know? So he's basically made up his mind that he wants to divorce this wife, but it isn't right for him to do so. But he figures in the end he's going to do it. So he forces himself to stay with her. What is that? Is that good? Amar leiv mishashi l'rova imli bo legarsha. Look, I mean, the person has in his heart that he's ultimately going to be divorcing her. Meanwhile, she has no idea that he is so disgusted with her that he wants to divorce her. And she's sitting there thinking that she is his beloved wife. She's doing his laundry. She's cooking his clothes. She's doing everything that he wants as a loyal wife. I mean, this is good. What's the din for there? Kori alei. So Rava said, that's what the Pasuk says in Mishlei. Al tacharosh al re'echa ra'ah. Don't sit there planning evil towards your closest friend. V'hu yoshev levetach itach. While that friend is sitting there trusting you, believing in you, not having any clue to your nastiness, that of course is awesome. That for sure, that is a horrific moral failing. Tanya. So now the question is, we've got all these different approaches, the level of tolerance to davar. Okay, so according to Rav Hillel, according to Beis Hillel, the grounds for divorce are sort of left up in the air there, because there is the issue of Erevah, which has to do with Eidos, but there's also an undeniable connection because of that tuf, which makes the smichut of the ervat to the davar, ervat davar. There's an undeniable connection to propriety when it comes to that davar. So therefore, we'd like to know, what is the level of tolerance, essentially, that you would be considered to be within the realm of davar that would be only correct to divorce? Says the Braita that Rabbi Meir used to explain that there is no objective standard for this kind of thing. People have different levels of tolerance. Kishem shahadeot b'ba'achal, kach deot b'nashim. Do people have different tolerance for how clean their food has to be before they'll eat it? Absolutely. Are you going to fault someone because he has higher standards of cleanliness? I mean, it's different. So too, you have different levels of tolerance. How very sensitive am I? Look, you've got a guy, yesh ta'adam, shizvuv nofel atoch koso v'zorko v'enu shoteh. Somebody that sees a fly falling into his soup or into his cup of coffee, he throws the whole thing out. He's not going to take out the fly and drink the coffee. Okay, that's people that are quite sensitive. And that kind of person, when it would come to the way that he's nervous about his wife, I mean, he keeps his cup. I have to admit I do this. But I do it because of kashrus. I always keep my cup covered with something because I find that inevitably some kind of small insect, but if you look carefully, you always see that there's something fell in. Okay, so I keep it covered. But this is what Papus Ben Yehuda used to do with his wife. He was so crazy about his wife not having to do with anybody that when he would leave the house, he would lock her in the house so that she wouldn't be able to talk to anybody and wouldn't get into trouble. And that was not a good idea because, as we know, it's a very interesting story, that Pappus ben Yehuda was married to a woman that was named Miriam Megadlah, which Tosfos identifies in Chagiga with the mother of Yashka. So this is Mary. And obviously, that weren't no virgin birth. That was one hell of a bastard. Right? So it must be that in locking her up, she was even more motivated to screw around with other men because she was so angry and upset with the way that he was treating her. So this is not considered to be a proper way to treat a woman. No, I'll be finished over you, that's it. Then you have somebody where if a fly falls into the coffee, so he takes the fly out and he'll still drink the coffee. That's the way regular people are. The Zoe Midat Kaladam. So in terms of a woman, so his wife speaks, you know, to her family, to her relatives. He doesn't care. Okay, fine, let her talk to the men, even though she's playing around with the boys. But you know, these are the people she grew up with. He doesn't feel that's offensive in any way. Then you've got these crazy people. A fly falls into his soup, you know, he'll suck the food, he'll suck the fly. Make sure you get all the soup off the fly, maybe if the fly melts into his soup, he'll eat the soup. Zui midat adam ra. That is awful in terms of the way he'll treat his wife. He sees his wife leaving the house, ro'et ishto yotza, with her hair uncovered, and she's sitting and she's exposing her hands, her arms in the shuk. So she's doing her spinning, and you wouldn't believe it. Rashi says she's dressed like these Frenchies. He knows. Ufruma mishneit tadea, you know, her clothing is split. You know, he doesn't want to go so far as to say you can actually see her legs, you know, but you can see her arms through her split sleeves. Oh, horrors. And not only that, rochetzet ibnei adam. Can you imagine? She goes swimming with men. Oh, my gosh. Now, it actually means she bathes with men. We're talking about naked bathing. What do you mean with men? That's crazy. Nobody would do that. That's how Tosus learns the question. Can't mean that. Rashi learns the question. She goes bathing with men, then you would be mechuyev to divorce her. That's how Rashi learns. Tosus argues. Ella, it means that she goes bathing in a place where men go bathing. So, okay, so right. So if we're learning this to mean literal bathing, so then as Rashi explains it, so she'll walk into the mikveh through the dressing room of the men when the men have already left, and, you know, they see her going into the bath. Okay. Anyway, so there indeed it's a mitzvah min ha-teira le-garsha. At that level already, that's considered to be the ervat avar v'shulcha mi-beito. So that is similar to Erva, and that is the expansion of the idea of Davar with the Erva. Now note that afterwards it says that then she will go and marry somebody else, but it calls him Acher. Now whenever we use the word Acher, we mean that person is different than what it is that we want to have as our standards. So Akatuv Kira'o Acher, this is a different kind of guy. Look at the difference between this bum and the first guy. Eno ben zugo shlurishon. He shouldn't be put in the same sentence as the first guy. The first guy got rid of this woman. Zo zeh hotzirisha ami beito. He threw out this wicked woman from his home who goes bathing with men. And this guy goes and brings her into his home. This is what he wants to be married to. So now, if this guy is Zocha to finally wake up and to understand that he wants a higher standard of living for himself, so then he'll divorce her. If he was Zocha, so then Shilcha, he'll divorce her, as the pasuk continues. Usne'aha isha acharon, her second husband can't stand her and sends her away. But if he doesn't divorce her, then the other end of the pasuk is what's going to happen. V'ilav shall bury him. Shinemar o kiyamuta ish acharon. The second husband will drop dead And that's how he should. They should drop dead. You don't marry a woman like that. And then when it says in the Torah in Malachi, where it's describing the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger for Yisrael, it says, Kisane Shalach. So what does it mean? There's two ways of understanding. Kisane, something that you hate, get rid of. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Sineta Shalach. Look, if you can't stand her, then go like Rabbi Akiva. And it's better than trying to force yourself into a relationship where you could get into the situation which you're taking advantage of a person by not letting them know that you really want to get rid of them. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Kisane Shalach, God hates those who sends away a wife. San Ui Hamishalach, the one who doesn't have an actual reason of erva, and this person does what Basil says. Okay, it says davar. I don't like the way she makes my coffee. But if you do that, God hates your guts. So in other words, even though the Torah is allowing the mechanism of divorce and the unfortunate reality of the way that people cannot learn to live reality and live in their chinam, in which everything is just the way that I feel about things, and therefore nothing has any meaning. So, okay, the Torah allows for the mechanisms for which that happens. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand such a person because what he should be doing is working on the relationship. Now, the truth is that we have two different periods in which there are different types. We saw this earlier. We spoke about it at length in Sota, in the beginning of Sota, that there's two different types of marriages. There's a Zivug Rishon and there's a Zivug Sheni. Now, most people understand the Zivug Rishon means the first wife, the Zivug Sheni means the second wife. However, as we saw in Sota, that isn't really the point. The point is that there is a woman that is meant for you. That's what they call a basherta wife, so to speak. But there's no reason to believe that you necessarily married that woman. As the Gemara says, you can lose your Zivug Rishon. So that's why you're mechuyev to act quickly and you're able to do what would normally be an Isser, because Shem Yikad Menu Acher, maybe somebody else will be zeicher to this woman. Person can be mispalal. There are different approaches. But the point is that there are relationships that start at a very early point of human development. You feel a connection, and what it is that you're connected through is far deeper than the romantic notions that you have. The Zivug Sheni is where a marriage was entered into based on romantic notions and not on the deep sense of a destiny. And over there, there's a big difference. So therefore, says the Gemara, these two shitas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan, Kisane Shalach and Sonuya Mishalach, is basically dependent on what we're talking about. When Rabbi Yochanan says HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no patience for somebody who sends away a wife, that's talking about Zivug Rishon. Those are the relationships that need working on, no matter what it is that's happening. And there should not emerge such a level of sina that it would enable you to justify divorce. Masha'en Kain, a relationship that was initially predicated on just romantic feelings, is essentially itself a chinam relationship. And therefore, in such a case, im sineta shalach, that's what the Torah is referring to. So the whole thing was based on romantic feelings. If there's no romantic feelings, what's the point of the marriage? So if you don't recognize that there's anything there that goes beyond the way that you happen to feel about this girl, you know, when all of a sudden it was love at first sight, but romantic love, and it was falling in love, and therefore very likely not based on anything real. So in such a case, that Tanya's Rabbi Yehuda. So then there's no reason to stick with it and to work with it if it didn't have firm basis in the first place. Anyway, that would be consistent with the way that we understood it in the Gemara and Saita. It's also possible to understand the Dover over here of Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni in terms of the extent of the investment. As we'll see, we want to keep the last part for the Siyun Bezrat Hashem. But if there's been such a strong investment that you've been there with this woman since you were a child, you know, you get married when you were 18 years old, and now it's 30 years later, you've put in all of this investment into this relationship. And now, because of the fact you can't take it anymore, that this you read about these things all the time, right? Somebody's been married, you know, you see, they've been married for 50 years. Now they call it gray divorce. It's very popular nowadays, gray divorce. So that idea is what it's referring to when it says, Sanui Shalach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, put in a lifetime of effort into a relationship, you don't throw it out.